everyone, and welcome back to your weekly Big Brother Breakfast Club. I'm Amanda Page from It's All Happening with Amanda. And while my regular co-hosts, Donnie and Kendrick, are gallivanting all around the country, I am joined by a special guest this week. I am here with a Big Brother expert who is new to the Instagram Big Brother world. You may know him simply as Babs, and you can find him on Instagram at BBWithBabs. Hi, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me. This is such a pleasure. It's such a treat. The dream come true.
I've been so excited to talk to you because you really know everything about Big Brother compared to me. I'm like a newbie when it comes to this stuff. So tell us your history with Big Brother. How long have you been watching? What are your favorite seasons? Tell us all about your journey.
Okay, well, I have started since the beginning. It's actually a little thing my dad and I did together. My dad got me into the first season, which is so different from where we are now. But I've watched every season as it's happened, all the way up into season 23. And I've lived through the good, the bad, and the ugly. It's really just, it's been a wonderful, wild ride.
That is wild.
Yeah, it's a big commitment. Everyone's like, oh, you watch Big Brother? Like, how many times of a week is it on? I'm like, well, it's on 3 times a week. So buckle up, because this is more than just, you know, once a week Survivor episode that you can, you know, easily get through in an hour. You are committing at least 3 hours every week to this show every week for, you know, 6-8 weeks.
Yeah. And if you subscribe to the feeds, which I know you are, are you subscribed to the feeds this season too?
Yeah. I mean, I'm on Paramount Plus. And it's a little bit nice now. It's nicer now because, like, I get all that, you know, the whole package of Paramount Plus as opposed to just, you know, getting the feeds, which is what it used to be in the past. But it's a lot to keep up with, especially having a full-time job. So I try to keep up with Twitter, you know, obviously shout out to Hamster Watch and Reality BBQ, because they're the ones that keep me informed the best out of all the, you know, Twitter accounts.
Yeah. But it's really amazing that you've been watching all of the seasons in real time. So, you know, that when I decided to watch early seasons, I just binged them. And so it's different because you don't get to interact with people in real time. So what has it been like with, social media changing compared to early seasons? Do you feel like you enjoy watching Big Brother more now that you get to have that interaction with fans more than before? Or do you kind of miss the old days when you could just, like, have your favorites and not be, like, fighting with people on the internet about Big Brother?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Because, I mean, the first season that I started watching live feeds was obviously my favorite, season 6, Janelle in the Sovereign Six. That was also the first season that I thought I could really be on the show. But it's different because now you get these live updates through Twitter, and, you know, you're not relying on your own personal information of having to catch up and watch it, because, you know, before it was jokersupdates.com. Like, that's where you got your live feed updates. And you would just sit there and read the recaps. And now you don't have to necessarily read those recaps. You go to Twitter and see what everyone else is posting about and kind of, you know, skim through and pick and choose what you want to look at.
Yeah, I have some friends who will not read spoilers. They just watch the episodes. And I don't know how they actually do it. Like, I watched Big Brother with them last week because I was visiting with them. And they didn't know who was getting evicted. Like, I mean, they had an idea, but they hadn't kept up during the week at all. They had no idea who was going to be evicted. And then the episode was over and they're like, oh, I guess we won't know who's HOH till Sunday. I'm like, you guys are going to make it till Sunday? How are you going to make it till Sunday? I couldn't believe it, but everybody's different. And that's why I like the show, because you can really take as much of it as you want. Like, you can either commit to 3 hours a week just by watching the episodes, or you can be someone who, like, has the live feeds on while you're at work, like, all day long, you know? So everybody can have their own journey. Or you can be like some of my listeners who tell me that they don't even watch the show, but they still listen to Big Brother Breakfast Club, which is amazing. So thank you for all of you who do that. That is wonderful. So speaking of breakfast, what did you eat for breakfast today? You're on the West Coast right now, so it's still breakfast time, right?
Oh, yeah, it is. It's 9 a.m. here. I will say, though, you know, little plug for Portland. I went to Grand Central Bakery in Portland, Oregon. I'm here visiting one of my best friends. For the listeners, I'm from D.C. right now, and I'm born and raised in Maryland, but I am in Portland. So I had a bacon and croissant from a Grand Central Bakery.
Oh, amazing. Amazing. Well, have fun in Portland. That's really exciting to be out on the West Coast. So we we know that the team twist is finally over. They told us on Thursday's episode, and now everyone's acting independently. And also, Claire has safety until jury from the final wild card competition. So I'm not much of an expert, but can you think of another season when someone won this kind of like extended safety until jury where it like protected her for more than 1 week?
Yeah, so BB13, they had the golden key twist. So that was where you had your pair, and you and your pair were nominated. And if your pair got eliminated, you had the golden key, which protected you until jury, which obviously was the downfall of Dane Donato's game in season 13, because Dane Donato got very bored because Dick left within the first week. So she basically had no game to play for 4 or 5 weeks, which is, as controversial as she was last season, I'm a very big Dane Donato fan.
I enjoyed her.
Yeah, she's a very dynamic personality, I think. And I'm trying to think of some other. I mean, Paul had that friendship twist in season 19 where he was safe for like the first like three or four weeks. But other than that, that's pretty much the only time that I've seen this twist. I mean, it was interesting. Claire's kind of safe, but I feel like she's kind of fallen by the wayside a little bit. And it's be interesting to see what happens. So.
Yeah, I feel like it could be a downfall for someone potentially, because she was like, well, I don't have to win this because I'm already safe. Oh, I don't have to win this because I'm already safe. And so I feel like it could kind of cause some problems for her, but we'll see. I mean, sometimes it's like, we just don't see everything on the episodes. We don't know how much people are really playing or what versus what we're actually seeing on the show. So we'll have to see how it goes, but she is obviously safe until jury.
Yeah, it's wild how much production cuts from these, some of these fights and conversations. And you're like, wow, you just missed a whole big chunk of things that provide so much context, but they have to build their narrative. So whatever.
Yeah, that makes sense. So we know that Hannah was protected by the Cookout Alliance and also with Derek X, but it did seem like Sarah Beth was kind of making a good case for Hannah to be eliminated over Whitney. So what did you think, kind of just finishing up with last week, what did you think about the house's decision to eliminate Whitney? Did you feel like that was a good move?
Yeah, I mean, also on a personal level, I'm not a Whitney fan at all. She doesn't believe in Sandy Hook. Yeah, bye.
Yeah.
I'm not going to go there. But I mean, Hannah's really smart. Hannah's playing a great game and she's really well protected. But I think people realize how smart she was. And I think it was Andy Heron, winner of season 15, even said on Twitter that she is the most mature player and she's 21 years old. And I agree with that.
I totally agree with it. I know you listened to my first episode where we were going through the players and I'm like, oh, Hannah, she's 21. She's like going to be stupid and like annoying and immature. And I was like, oh, okay. So she's actually probably going to win this season. Like I was very pleasantly surprised early on by her, but I do think, people are starting to catch on, but she is a good person. So I wanted her to stay over Whitney. I try to like have that weird balance where I'm like, get out the people I don't like early, but then I also am like, I want to see action. So I'm excited to get into this week. I feel like things are going to start like picking up. So Sunday's episode was the HOH competition, which was the wall comp, which I love. And the house guests had to stay on the wall while various challenges were presented, like the rain and the slime. And my absolute favorite moment was when Big D said, oh my God, I hate having a fat ass.
I guess his fat ass only lasts him 5 minutes because he was out literally before the next commercial break. So
yeah, he was like, I'm not even gonna bother with this one.
He was like, wow, this is the most vertical I've stood this entire season. I think it's time for me to lay down now.
I love how they had that like package of him basically sleeping with his sunglasses on for like the entire season.
I mean, for like the casual viewers, like, I don't know if anyone knows the fact that he's been getting away with it, which is why he wears sunglasses, because they don't know when his eyes are closed. They're not.
Right. Because they don't want them sleeping all the time. Right. Because it's very boring for the show.
Exactly. And for the feeders too. Yeah. It's like the live feeders put on the live feeds and, our hashtag team fun feeds, like we want to see fun things. We want to see excitements. We want to see games. And if you're sleeping all day, you know, you're basically just furniture. And that's really what he is to me. He's furniture.
Yeah, I agree. So people are starting to drop off and Alyssa tries to negotiate with Derek X to drop and promises him and Hannah safety. And at this point, she really did seem like she was holding on. I thought she might win this one because of her size and because of her strength, but Derek wouldn't take the bait and he does promise Alyssa safety. And then she finally drops, but he also promises Xavier safety, who wanted to throw it anyway. Xavier didn't really want to win. So he did throw it and Derek X wins. But then immediately Xavier's like, oh, by the way, I want the rest of my team safe. And what did you think about that? Was that just kind of like, he was just overly hopeful by asking for that? Or did you think Derek X would actually go for it?
Yeah, I mean, I think he was overly hopeful because, I mean, at this rate, the Kings team is half the house. Like, there aren't many people left, and there's four of them. So it's a little bit, you know, hopeful, but at the same time, also, I think a little bit ignorant because, like, let's be real. There's no way your entire team's going to be safe, especially when we know that Sarah Beth's name's been thrown around for multiple weeks now.
Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, and half of the Kings team is safe if Derek X is going to follow through with his word and keep Alyssa safe and keep Xavier safe. But then it was interesting because when they sat down later and Xavier was like, I just want to clarify about this deal we made. He points out that the Kings were all in an alliance with Derek X. So really he should have kept them safe if he was loyal to the Royal Flush. And I hadn't even thought about that. Like when he was saying, oh, I want all the Kings to be safe. Really, they were already in an alliance, but.
Well, yeah. And I'm curious to see, I can't remember what week the Royal Flush was formed. I think it may have been last week during Christian's HOH, but it was, I think, more so a safety for Derek X and Hannah to basically be like, or I guess Hannah's not in the Royal Flush, but more so Tiffany. Like Tiffany has been doing all these things behind the scenes and nothing is sticking to her. It is wild. She's playing a great, great game.
I'm so obsessed with her, but let's talk about that moment that she kind of fucked up. So Hannah found out about the Royal Flush because of Tiffany. So were you like screaming at the TV? Because I was like, what is she doing? She just outed the whole alliance in front of her.
I mean, a great job on BB production because they were like cued into Hannah in the diary room. And they're like, Hannah's like, Royal Flush, what do you mean? And then it was like such a nice like comedic relief. And she's like Derek, like, what is the Royal Flush? And Derek's like, oh, I have to tell you now, like, you know, he's like so in love with her. And then she goes to Tiffany and she's like, so what's the Royal Flush? She's like, oh, so Derek told you? And she's like, no, you told me.
Yeah. I love how both Derek and Tiffany like, oh, were like
shit.
They were like, wait, did I say that or did you say that? And I was like, oh my god, I can't believe. And after Derek X last week said that comment about Whitney going home, like before she had even been like campaigning or whatever, I was like, oh my God, he keeps getting himself into these situations where somebody like finds out that he already knows something or that he was part of an alliance, but it was actually Tiffany's fault. But I thought they did a really good job playing it off and Hannah seemed okay after that.
Well, and like, you know, I mean, in the grand scheme of things, they both trust her. So, you know, now it's like the Royal Flush is already imploded. It's, you know, it's, I mean, it's non-existent anymore now that they've, you know, done what they did this week. But, you know, now that they have her trust, I mean, she's obviously going to keep that in her back pocket and use it as ammo. But at the same time, it's kind of like, okay, well, they're going to go forward together and she needs to know anyways. So, yeah. But it's, but, you know, as I say, it's better sooner rather than later.
Yeah. So, what conversations between Derek X and the other house guests do you think most affected his nominations? What, like, did we miss anything on the show? He had a lot of sit downs and it seemed like he was kind of unsure and people were kind of trying to pull him in different directions. So who do you think had like the biggest influence over his week?
Tiffany, 100% Tiffany. Tiffany has been influencing every single week. And I'm sitting here waiting. I'm like, okay, she needs to calm down. Like she's gonna get herself in trouble next week. And every week she comes back around and she's just so well protected. I mean, she has the cookout. She has Claire. She has that Royal Flush, you know, the cookout's one half the house, Royal Flush another half the house. And like she's protected on all sides. I mean, you know, we'll see what happens this week. I still think that she'll be fine. because nothing seems to be sticking to her. It's all of her minions that are doing the, you know, she's putting the blame on everyone else, like Claire or Hannah.
Yeah. And she just has such a good way of having people, like having a conversation with someone and having them walk away thinking that something was their idea, but it's like, it was her idea. She's so good at that. And I really, really am enjoying her as a player. And I think she's hilarious. So she's fun to watch. So I hope she sticks around for a long time. I think she's definitely right now my favorite player. It was Kyland. And not that I don't enjoy him, but Tiffany is just, I think, like a stronger competitor for me at this moment.
Yeah. I mean, she needs to win some competitions. But, you know, that's her biggest thing. She needs to start building her resume. Because, you know, you can talk about at the end of the game how much, you know, behind the scenes stuff you did. But in reality, no one's going to believe it until they see it.
Let's talk about that winning competitions, because I noticed something this week about the pattern. Has there been a female HOH this season?
No, there has been their only female winner out of, excluding the wildcard comps, but has been Brittany in POV. Every other time has been a male. But now that, you know, half the males are gone, the odds should be in their favor, but
it's just crazy. They keep like eliminating themselves, which is really interesting. Basically, this season has been all male HOHs and mostly males winning the veto, but they keep eliminating themselves. So I'm just really surprised by that, but hopefully we'll start to see more female HOH winners in the weeks to come. Now we're in jury. And so what is the breakdown? Well, I guess we haven't talked about who goes home this week. So if we don't consider that, it's not equal in terms of male and female players in the house, right?
No, the only males left are Derek F. So he's not winning shit. And then you got Xavier, Derek X, Kyland.
Okay.
And then that's because then there's been four other guys removed. So that would be eight. Yeah, that's it. There's four guys left and there are seven girls left.
That is so crazy.
Well, I guess, yeah, we haven't talked about who goes home yet, but.
Spoiler alert, if you're listening to this. Yeah. Okay, so speaking of that, so basically Derek X decides that he wants to put up Sarah Beth and Brittany on the block. He's basically asking everyone if they will be a pawn, and everyone's like, no. I'm like, why do you even ask people if they want to be a pawn? Who's going to be like, yeah, sure, make me a pawn?
It's happened before, and then they've gone home.
Right. So it's a mistake. He clearly, from the beginning, knew that he wanted to backdoor Christian because he didn't want him to play veto, but it is still so dangerous because you never know if he's going to be picked for veto. Even if he's not nominated, he could still be randomly selected or picked as house guest choice. And so I was not sure if he was going to go for it, but he nominated Sarah Beth and Brittany. So what did you think about those nominations? Did you feel like that was smart for him?
I mean, yeah, I think it was fine. I'm conflicted with the whole backdoor plan because in a way it is a coward move. Like, you know, the person should be able to fight for their life. And if they win, they win, like, so be it. But but also I was pissed off because immediately Brittany gets nominated and starts crying. I'm like, girl, like welcome to Big Brother, this is a last resort, like, yeah, bring it on, cheer, but like, come on, like, you've been nominated, this is your third time, he asked you to be a pawn, so you should have expected, if you're up there, you know that you're not the target, you know you're the pawn, like, I don't understand why you're freaking out about it, like, it's so, she annoys me, but whatever.
No, her crying is very annoying. And as much as I know that I would also be crying if I was on the block, I'm like, okay, but you shouldn't be crying because you're annoying me. And I feel like it is kind of working in her favor a little bit because her team always rallies around her when she gets nominated and she cries, but nobody else like really seems to like feel bad for her. So it's not really a good like strategic move for her to be getting, I don't think she has any control over it. I think she's just, it's annoying. It feels like every single week on like Wednesday, I'm like, and Brittany's crying again. Here we go. I mean,
it's also like, you know, it's also to sidetrack real quick for like the teams. Like it's really interesting how the teams have all stuck together with each other. Like Azza and Derek F love scene, like, love to hang out with Brittany. Like, all of the kings love each other. All the queens, like, the queens. I mean, I would love the queens too. It's Kyla and Tiffany and Claire. Like, yeah. But it's like, you know, and then the aces too. It's crazy how they've all rallied around, because in the past with the team twist, that has not happened. They've been very much divided. Also, Brittany, like, Brittany needs to realize that she is by herself in this house. She has no real alliance other than Derek F. and Azza. And the majority of that is because of Frenchie. Like, she's lucky she's still in the house, personally. Like, she could have easily been an easy boot at any time. And they've chosen to get rid of the powerful guys instead of her.
Yeah, and I feel like with the team twist, it's interesting because some people, like Brittany, might think like, oh, I don't need an alliance because I have my team. But like, here we are now, the team twist is done. And she is lucky that Derek and Azza like do want to still protect her at this point, because people could have been going after their own team. Yeah, they can't nominate their team members when they're HOH. But if another HOH comes up, they can say like, here's your chance to get this asshole out that's on my team that I hate. And it really hasn't been that dramatic yet in that way. This was like the first week where we see someone who was like, who like kind of wanted to get someone on their team out. And that was just because she was worried about getting eliminated herself. So that's Sarah Beth. So Sarah Beth and Derek sit down and it's really awkward, but he finally tells her about his plan to ultimately backdoor Christian. And she actually wasn't against the plan because she just wants to be safe. But I was a little bit surprised, like, how well she took that and didn't try to like sway him in a different direction.
Yeah. I mean, I think she knows that she is up there on the hit list. I mean, and I'm wondering, so for those, you know, for the casual viewers, Tiffany had a slip up, I think last week, where she told Kylan in confidence that she wants Sarah Beth out. And Kylan was like, oh, a huge mistake on Tiffany's part, because Kylan and Sarah Beth are a pair. And I think Kylan went, I didn't watch the feeds enough these past couple weeks because of, you know, gymnastics, but but you know, that's, I think that's part of what happened, is that she is aware that she's up there on the hit list. So now that she's nominated, if Christian doesn't make it up there, she's going to be the next to go. So she was really focused on making sure that this plan went through the way it did, which is why I think she was upset with what happened during the veto. And we'll get to that, but you know.
Yeah. And I think she's probably feeling really happy that Hannah isn't in Derek X's ear to get her out, because I mean, think about it. Last week, she was like adamant that Hannah go home. She was like pushing so hard, and Derek X and Hannah are not only best friends in the house, flirting with each other, but they're also former members of the Aces, the only two people from that team left. And so really, if I were Sarah Beth, I would be like kissing the ring for Hannah and Derek X right now, to basically be like, whatever you need me to do, because really she could have been targeted by him so easily. He would have a perfect excuse. He'd be like, you tried to get rid of my teammate, my best friend.
What? It's also interesting that we've seen in past seasons that has not been happening recently, is that when you get nominated, you walk up there and you say, okay, I need to get off the block, or I'm going to secure you 3 weeks of safety if you secure me one. And they don't do that anymore. And it's crazy to me, because that's how you build alliances. Like, that's the reason why, you know, if I went in the house, I would want to win HOH first, because you have like what Frenchie wanted. Frenchie knew that he could win HOH first and he would had everyone come to him, but then at the same time, he just completely just squint or smiled into chaos.
he really blew that up.
I mean, and that's the benefit of winning HOH, is that, you know, you have the downside of having to vote someone out and having to nominate two people and make enemies. But at the same time, you have that leverage that other people do not have in the game for that particular week. And no one is using that leverage. And it's crazy to me.
And you have to know who would be a good pawn. And it's not just a pawn. Like, a lot of times people think about who's the perfect pawn that no one's going to vote for, but you also have to pick the right person who's going to understand that if you're nominated and the HOH does not pick you to be their target and campaigns to keep you around, that like you owe them something in the end. Like, it's not, you don't want to pick someone who's going to turn around and retaliate because you nominated them. Like, you have to kind of have that balance. And so Yeah. So it's kind of that, like that difficult balance there. And I think that Sarah Beth in this moment was like, okay, well, if you are doing this and you are going to use this opportunity to take out Christian, then we're cool. Like, then we'll be fine. She's not going to like go back and retaliate against Derek X.
Yeah. I mean, I wish she would, you know, form a trio with Hannah and Derek X. I mean, although at the end of the day, she'd be at the bottom, but Derek X and Hannah are very powerful. So Sarah Beth right now is on the bottom, you know, other than having Kylan in her corner. Other than that, she doesn't have anybody, I feel like.
Yeah. So Derek talks to the Kings and basically says that Brittany is the target. And he says that he wanted to nominate a King to throw off anyone who might be onto the Royal Flush. And they actually were buying it. Like, Alyssa was like, okay, yeah, that makes sense. And I was honestly really shocked because, I mean, I just feel like Derek X has shown that he's not just a competitor in terms of the comps. Like, he's actually doing pretty well in terms of these conversations, steering things in the right direction. And for being what I think I've heard, he's a recruit. He seems to have a pretty good understanding of how to play the game. So I've been like pleasantly surprised by him.
Well, you know, as I've been saying, it's only the smart people go to University of Maryland.
Right. That's what it is.
Yeah. I mean,
our
fellow
Terp.
Yeah, it's very, I mean, it's interesting that, like, you know, he is a recruit and he knew nothing about this game. Like, he was literally in Jeopardy week one and he has flourished into this great gamer. I mean, he has a great social game and he's very intelligent, but you can tell, like, he is at times in over his head. He's like, oh my God, what am I doing? Am I doing the right thing? Like, you know, always second guessing himself. And you have to be, you know, like Tiffany, you have to be 100% certain when you go in and make a move because there's no turning back unless you really try hard to backpedal.
Yeah, we'll talk about his spiral after veto. So Alyssa, Claire, and Kylan were picked to play the veto, which is great for Derek's backdoor plan. However, apparently some conversation, I heard this from someone. There was a conversation even before veto where Tiffany, Claire, and Hannah kind of decide that they actually would rather Sarah Beth go than Christian. So they could affect whether the veto was used. And so, like, I guess Derek kind of got lucky here because I feel like they were already starting to think about a flip even before the veto.
Yeah. That plan went out, you know, at the first round of the veto.
Pretty much. When
Claire got knocked out. I mean, it's funny. I don't know what Tiffany's obsession is, but she has been obsessed with getting rid of Sarah Beth. I'm like, girl, just stop. Just let things happen. You're gonna get yourself in trouble. But yes, here we are. She's still there. So
yeah,
props to her. She's you know, putting plans into people's ears that are gonna be weeks down the road. It'll be interesting to see what happens. But
yeah, so I love these vetoes where they're eliminated one at a time, and then they have like punishments or rewards. So basically, Claire gets out first, then Sarah Beth, then Kylan, and then Derek X, and then it's Alyssa and Brittany. And we had like the best moment, like as much as Brittany has been annoying me, the editing from this competition of her looking like a complete crazy person and Azza like narrating it, like actually made me enjoy Brittany because she looked like she was like possessed by the devil trying to win this veto. I was like actually enjoying it a little bit.
That upset people. People are very upset with how Brittany was like celebrating and how she was being annoying and yada yada yada, aka Alyssa, I think, was the one that was pissed off about it, but you know, for good reason.
Right. So Alyssa, so let's talk about some of these like rewards and punishments. So Alyssa gets count of communication. So I thought this was such a good reward. So she can receive like a phone call with a loved one. I think like a video chat, and basically it's like one now. And then if she's still there in 4 weeks, she'll get another phone call, which like for these house guests that are quarantined away from their families and not able to communicate, I feel like that would be worth so much. So I was happy to see that she got that because I felt like she really was like happy about that reward.
Yeah. I mean, especially she doesn't want HOH yet either. So like she hasn't gotten her letter from home, which, you know, when you get your letter from home, you're able to keep that. And that's, you know, you read it as motivation. And so I think that phone call, I like this prize. They haven't done a phone call in a while. And it always reminds me of season 6 when Janelle got the phone call and everyone was like, oh, who's on the phone? She's like, Michael. She's like, did Brittany have her baby yet?
I love that. Is like the most classic moment that she, and everyone from the friendship was so pissed that she used her phone call to call a guy she had barely a fling with and not a family member, and that she wanted to know about Britney Spears. And I was like, I just love it. It was like such a slap in the face to them. And they couldn't believe that America voted for Janelle to be the favorite. They thought for sure America loved them. And they were like, what the fuck, America? You hate us.
Yeah, and they're literally all crying, and like Janelle's talking to someone she knew that for 14 days. It's great. It's just like classic sums up season 6 so well, and I love her so much.
Oh, the good old days. So Britney obviously wins, so she steals the veto because they can steal. It's sort of like Secret Santa. If you haven't seen the competition, it's sort of like Secret Santa. You get what you get in the order that you're eliminated, but then you can steal from somebody else. So Britney steals the veto. And Derek X gets Lord of the Latrine. So now he has to unlock the bathroom for anyone who needs to use it, no matter what it is. And you could tell he wanted to take the $5,000 that Sarah Beth got, but she like cried and was like, don't do it. Don't do it. Don't take my money. And like, I don't know. Were you surprised that he didn't take the money from her?
Oh, I was surprised, but it just shows how good of a person he is, and it made me like him a little bit more than I already do, because it's kind of like, okay, like he is sympathetic, but at the same time, like that's a very social game. Like, you know, there are times where you draw the line and you have to vote, you have to nominate people, you have to vote to evict them, but at the same time, like he has that in his back pocket. So she wins HOH, she can be like, hey, remember, I didn't take your $5,000, don't put me up on the block.
Right.
I think she seems a little bit villainous, but I wonder if she would offer that deal. Who knows if we'll even use that as ammo. But I think it was good strategy on his part. I also think it was good strategy on her part to take the $5,000 over the veto, knowing that if Britney was still in the game, Britney would take it anyways, because Britney is like, you know, thinking that she's gonna get eliminated. Like, come on, we've been through this. You are a pawn. You are a pawn for the whole season. We don't need to worry about getting eliminated. So I think in the end, you know, Alyssa was really pissed off about that, but I think it was the right thing for her to do to take the $5,000. And I think it was the right thing for Derek to not take it, although he was really upset about that.
He was upset after like talking about it with other people.
And then like, you know, when he had to do the Lord of the Latrine at like 2 o'clock in the morning or whatever, he's like, oh, should have taken that $5,000.
I know. But, and then we see later that people can use that punishment as a way to isolate him. Like Christian later was like, oh, Derek, you have to go let me into the bathroom, so that he like can corner him into a conversation, because he has to be the one to go unlock the door anytime somebody needs it. And it's kind of like the perfect storm, especially for an HOH, to like have that kind of like being cornered by somebody who's potentially going on the block. So that was interesting.
Yeah. I mean, it's actually interesting that all these house guests have done great jobs of being able to get FaceTime with people. So like, I don't know if anyone's noticed Tiffany, she literally is the person who does everyone's hair. She braids everybody's hair in the house. And she uses that time to talk to people.
I never Andy really Heron
went on Twitter.
That.
Yeah. And then Andy Heron on the winner of season 15, he's been on Twitter and he was like, you know, he mentioned that about Tiffany. And what he did was he would put a piece of clothing in every room, so he could walk into a room and not look like he's breaking up a conversation, but like, oh, I'm here to just grab something and then sit down and have a conversation with somebody.
Genius.
So it's a way to break up conversations as well. Yeah. It's all about the social game.
Yeah. Okay. I'm going to have to steal that move. I'm just going to, when I get in the house, I'm going to be throwing shit all over the place. Like, anybody seen my glasses? I can't find anything. And then you're like blind, like rolling all over the floor, like won't leave the room.
Oh, what are you guys doing in here? Okay. Oh, I'll just sit down and just talk. Oh, you guys will play some cards. Okay, cool. Let's just do that real quick.
So Derek talks to Alyssa at the end of, so this is kind of like the end of Wednesday's episode. So Derek talks to Alyssa to try to salvage their relationship, and he tells her his plan to backdoor Christian. And I understand doing this if we were already in jury, because it's like, if someone's going to be like eliminated, you kind of have to like manage the expectations, but it's like, well, I guess he knows Alyssa's still going to be in jury at this point. So I don't know. I just felt like I was a little bit surprised that he was telling them his plan, that he was going to be putting up Christian and backdooring him, because Alyssa immediately tells Christian, obviously. And Alyssa and Xavier are like not really happy, but Sarah Beth is obviously fine about it. So did you think that Derek made a good choice by telling them his plan, or should he have just went to the veto ceremony and put up Christian?
So I mean, I'm a little conflicted because we all love a good blindside, and all of the blindsides this season have been ruined. Frenchie's blindside was ruined. Brent's blindside was ruined. Whitney kind of knew she was out the door, but you know, it also makes for great TV because then you're seeing this whole like, and I'm sure production loved it clearly because they didn't show the veto meeting on the veto episode. They waited because, right, you know, suspense. I don't know. It's just, I I'm conflicted. Like, yes, he's doing jury management and he's trying to make sure they're not mad at him and that lessens the blow. But at the same time, it also shows again, like how good some of these people are because they have such heavy consciences as opposed to like, you know, Jack or Jackson. Yeah. They give a shit if you're on the block, and they don't care. And but that's just, you know, because they're mean, whatever.
Yeah, no, that's actually true. Like Derek obviously like felt bad about doing it. Like he didn't feel bad about the back door because he felt like it was the best decision for him, but he felt bad like doing it without at least like letting him know before the meeting. So I did appreciate that. But Christian was desperate and he basically sat down and told Derek, like Derek X, if he goes out before jury, he knows that his allies, Alyssa and Xavier, are not going to vote for Derek X to win in the final because they're going to be pissed that he did this, which I was like, oh, that's kind of like a good strategy to take, because I believe him actually that Alyssa is going to like hold it against Derek. And he says, I'm your shield. Please keep me here. And
Alyssa will. I don't know about Xavier.
Yeah, I don't know about Xavier either. But he says he wants Big D to go up. And so we actually left Wednesday's episode not knowing. So that was really interesting. But
yeah, I mean, you have to love Christian for Christian's fight. Like Christian, and I was kind of surprised. I didn't think he had it in him to do that. But he fought like hell to make sure that he was not on the block. And you know, I mean, you have to respect that. That's a good gameplay. That's what we've wanted to see from many seasons now, are these fans coming in of the show. Although Christian also wasn't a fan. He had an agent who got him on the show. But, you know, I think that's what makes the show so awesome, is that you see these things and they're happening in real time and you're seeing the actual shock on these people's faces. I love the show.
Yeah. And I felt like he did a good job campaigning. He had a shorter time because he was backdoored. So he didn't know until right before the veto meeting that he was going to be on the block. But it feels like in the last couple of weeks, people haven't been campaigning as much. We've seen it on the show, but as I've heard from people who watch the feeds, they're like, oh, this person is just like sitting around being like, woe is me. I guess my fate is sealed. And it takes them a minute to like actually start campaigning. So I was happy to see that Christian right away was like, no, I'm not going on the block. Like, do not backdoor me. I do not want to go home. My time is not up. I'm not like throwing my towel in that easily. So I actually started, like, I was not a huge fan of his, but once he was like going to be backdoored, I was like, oh, I don't know if I'm ready for him to go home yet.
I mean, yeah, he makes for great TV. He's a competitor and clearly he really wants to be there. And it's, you know, that makes a difference because, you know, the other rank and file members like Brent and Whitney, you know, as much as I wanted Travis to stay, Travis kind of just laid down and died. It's like,
yeah,
this is week one. You got to make these connections. And, you know, again, everything leads to another week. You know, sometimes the hamsters have, you know, short memories, but at the same time, sometimes you don't forget.
Yeah. So Thursday's eviction episode, we finally see that Brittany takes herself off the block. Obviously, she did not, you know, pull a season. What was the season where the veto was not used? Wait, I just talked
Marcellus,
about this. Marcellus. Is that four or three?
Three. Season three. Yeah, with Lisa Donahue, Danielle Reyes for final two. Yep.
Oh, man.
Yeah, I love Danielle to death, but wow, she really burned some people that season. And she didn't win because of it, so.
Yeah.
And hence that's when you get to jury management.
Yes. And we're going to start to get into that now that we're actually in the jury. So Brittany has the veto. She takes herself off the block. Christian's the replacement nomination. And so we see that, and we actually get to see the punishments. And like, I was just so obsessed with Kylan dressed as a jackass. Like, he literally looked so cute. Like, he could literally be doing anything, and I would be like, oh my God, you're the most adorable person. Like, how did he make that costume look so adorable?
I'm just jealous that Xavier's there cuddling and hugging him. And that's where I would be. I would be cuddling and hugging Kylan all day long too.
No, both of them are so good. We have such a good looking cast, and they actually look like people. They're better looking than any of the past couple of seasons, but they're not like Instagram models, which I'm like, this is wild to me.
I will definitely be shooting my shot with Kylan once he gets out of this house.
I support that. I love that. I could ship that. So Claire has to pay 52 card pickup whenever the king demands it. And then we know about the Lord of the Latrine for Derek X. So which punishment did you feel like was the worst punishment to have?
Definitely the sandwiches or like the jackass, whatever Kylan had. Because like the 52 card pickup, like that's like what, like once every hour, like once a day for a week. I think it's once every hour, but still like 52 card pickup. Like, yeah, the most annoying time will be in the middle of the night. Lord of the Latrine was only 24 hours. So that was nice. That was, I think it was only 24 hours. And then, but the Jackass and Claire's are both a week long. And to make that many sandwiches for 11, how many people is it? 11 people? Like, no, thank you. 10 people, and I guess now, but.
And he had to make club sandwiches, which involves cooking bacon. I was like, oh my God, it's not just like a turkey where you can just like throw it on the bread. He's like literally out here like cooking for everybody.
Also, I would get so fat because I'd be like, hey, every pack of bacon I cook, I eat three.
I know bacon. Bacon is like one of those things where it's like the limit does not exist and how many pieces of bacon you can eat as a snack. It doesn't actually do anything. It just...
Until you have a heart attack, yeah. The limit does not exist.
Right. I actually limit my bacon now that I'm pregnant. I'm probably not supposed to eat much of it. I try to get like the uncured like turkey bacon, but it's not the same.
Yeah. And you have to cook it too if it's uncured, but.
Yeah.
Or is it cured? Yeah, whatever.
Whatever. I don't fucking know. I don't know. This is BB Breakfast Club, but like, so I don't really know. I don't really know what I'm talking about when it comes to breakfast. Today,
that's what I was about to say. Bacon is very fitting for the BB Breakfast Club. So
today I had scrambled eggs, toast, and fruit. So I'm, eating my balanced meal. So Christian's campaigning. He had a good conversation with Tiffany, but she knows that he doesn't actually have the votes that he thinks he has, because he thinks he has the jokers, and she wants to be honest with him and say like, I'm not the swing vote. Like, and she seems to actually like Christian a lot. So because I don't see everything, did they have a good relationship before this? Like, is she being honest when she's like saying to him, like, I want to help you out. Like,
she is, and I think it's not that she has a good relationship with everybody in the house, but I don't think it's that she has a good relationship with him per se, is that she really is like hell bent on getting Sarah Beth out. And I do not know why they think Sarah Beth is this huge threat, because I just do not see it, other than that she's a gamer and she's very social. But
do you think her issue is more about like Kylan? Like, because Kylan and Sarah Beth are so close and he's part of the cookout. Like, does she question whether Kylan is more loyal to the cookout than Sarah Beth?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, that's actually a really good point, is I think, the one that Kylan is well protected, equally as well protected as Tiffany is. And then now that Tiffany may not, I think Tiffany, the only person Tiffany doesn't have in her pocket is Sarah Beth, I guess. And Kylan does.
Okay, so Big D tells Azza that he does not want to work with the cookout anymore because of Tiffany. And I have to say, like, I get where he's coming from, but I am not okay with the way that he keeps calling her a bitch nonstop. He said it like 10 times in one conversation. It wasn't like a slip up. It wasn't like, I'm so angry that I said, oh, you bitch, whatever. He like said bitch 10 times talking about Tiffany. And I was like, this is not cool. Like, what is going on here?
So, I mean, I had a friend tell me, on G Harmony, a gay grinder, that that he knows Derek's in person and he is very dramatic. And now I see it, because I was like, oh, he's like, I can see him being a little dramatic, like still in the show. Now I'm like, okay, dude, chill out. Like, she's not a bitch. Like, you just don't agree with her. So like, keep it moving and continue to lay down. But let's take a nap. I think you need a nap.
Yeah. And this was like the first time we start to see kind of like the cracks in the cookout happening on the show. And I started to get a little bit worried, and it seems like Derek and Azza are definitely like the most close out of the cookout players, cause they were on the Jokers together. So I am a little bit nervous about Azza and Tiffany's relationship getting strained. And we start to see later that like she wants to talk to Brittany because she's trying to flip the vote. And Big D and Azza will not let Tiffany talk to Brittany alone. They like come into the room and are like, well, whatever you can say around her, you can say around us. And I was like, this is a bad move, because I understand they're trying to control the conversation, but it just made things, I think, a lot worse in their relationship.
Yeah. And when Azza and Derek F don't have the best social games, like Azza is very personable, I think, in the diary room, but she, you know, they sit in that room all day long and it's just them two. So really the only person that they can trust or rely on is Brittany. I mean, it just goes to show you, and this is why, again, I love Big Brother. It's a social experiment. Like, you put all these people and you think like a bit like interest is going to attract like interest, and it doesn't work because their personalities just don't mesh. Tiffany is not the same kind of person that Azza and Derek F are, and they're very passive, and Tiffany is not a passive person.
Yeah.
And you know, I think the cookout is cooked. I think they're done.
Yeah. I was a little bit confused because I understand that they wanted to get Brittany. So however, though, I was thinking about it and I'm like, if it's Alyssa, Xavier, Tiffany, and Claire, they're all like, yes, we're good. Did they only need 5 votes to keep Christian? Or did they need 6?
Yes, because there were 9. There were 9 people voting this week. So okay. It was 5-4.
So the five
majority.
So the 5th person they wanted to get was Brittany. And then I don't know if they ever were able to talk to her or what happened, but couldn't they have gotten Hannah? Cause Hannah and Sarah Beth kind of worked their issues out, but like, couldn't Hannah have just been like, all right, bye, you're done.
No, because Hannah was doing what Derek X wanted.
Oh, and he wanted, so right. Hannah, okay. Right.
Yeah. So Brittany was really the swing vote. I mean, also Tiffany could have brought it up with Azza and Derek F. Like, I don't know why they wanted to keep Sarah Beth so badly, other than that they're just not making big moves. But yeah, I don't know why she didn't try harder to get, you know, like Azza. Like, Azza, if you're really my pair, you're my number two, or you're, you know, we're in this for the long haul, do this favor for me. I'll return the favor. I don't know why she didn't try that.
Yeah.
I don't know what they're.
Yeah, but that makes sense now. Now that you mention that, that makes sense, because I was like, wait, why wouldn't Hannah just go along with what Tiffany said, especially because she didn't like Sarah Beth? But I forgot, like, I wasn't thinking that. Basically, if they had flipped the vote and Christian was safe, Derek X would be completely screwed because he tried to backdoor Christian and failed. So we do go straight into the eviction, and the vote was 7-2 and Christian was eliminated. And then we saw Christian and Alyssa kiss, which I thought was like so cute. Like, everyone was like freaking out. So I guess that they haven't been like super obvious to the rest of the house guests that they're a little showmance. Is that like the
everyone knows. And it's like, you know, as I say, Frenchie called it on week one. He said
he did.
That they're going to be in a showmance. And I still think Alyssa should have been voted over Travis, but I would have loved to see Travis a little bit longer because, you know, just beautiful, pretty eyes.
Yeah, he's good looking.
He makes you melt. But yeah, so I don't know what the future will hold for them. Allegedly, Christian asked, per the live feeds, that Christian asked Alyssa, Derek X gave them the HOH room, and Christian asked Alyssa if they would date, and Alyssa was just kind of like, she said no, no, as in, like, basically we're not gonna have sex on national television right now and go to the HOH room, but allegedly they may have already had 2 sex events, we don't know yet. But
interesting.
So I think he's kind of like, she's like, we'll see what happens. He's like, what do you mean we'll see what happens? She's like, we know I'll be in jury, like, you won't be there, you'll be out, like, you know, you can find someone else. And yeah, so we'll see. I think they make a cute couple. I actually really like Christian, as much as a meathead he may seem. I think he's a really good person, so I think it'll be interesting. I also think Alyssa's a good person too. I think this whole cast, they're all good people. Like, thank you. I think the Joey Tenenbaum, I think, is the casting director of this season. And, you know, clearly he has good taste and he has morals.
I agree.
And that's all I'll say on that.
And it seems like everyone left that's in the jury are people that I'm actually like happy to see. You know, there, of course, I have my favorites, but I'm not like, oh my God, get this person out of here. I never want to see them again. I really don't feel that way about any of them. But so Julie ends the episode. We don't get to see the HOH competition, but she ends the episode telling them about the new twist. So can you explain the high roller room for people that are listening? Like, what does it entail? Because it's got like a couple of different moving pieces.
Yeah. So America will vote on their favorite house guest. There'll be three tiers. The first tier will get, I think, 100 BB bucks. The next year we'll get 75 BB bucks. And the last year, which is basically the people that are left, will all get 50 BB bucks, which I kind of don't like. I wish they had just like done zero and kind of like done what Survivor does with like these like player coins where you can like gift bequeath player coins to other people and you can trade them and you can like use it as a negotiation tactic. And then, so they'll go in and it looks like it's going to be kind of like the Den of Temptation from season 19, where they had like, you go in and you have like X, you have to play a game and a game will grant you safety, but each game costs money. And the better the safety or the power, the more money it will cost. So allegedly, I think one is going to be like, there's going to be a cash prize is what I'm getting from Twitter. Another one may be a veto multiplier. So if you win veto, you may be able to save two people as opposed to just one. And I don't know what the third week is going to be, but it's a good twist. It's also going to be interesting to see what happens because now the house is going to basically, it's going to be like the banner planes of the old season. Like they're going to know who is on the top and who's on the bottom.
Right.
So Tiffany is going to have a target on her back because everyone's going to be running Tiffany. Everyone's going to be running Derek X. And these people at the bottom, if they win HOH, they're going to realize that these people are very popular with America. They're going to want them out.
Yeah, that's going to be interesting. So I think that definitely by the time this episode comes out, if you're listening to this, the voting will be done. I think it's actually done right now in real time. But did you cast any votes? Can you tell us who you voted for?
Yes, I voted 7 times for Claire and 3 times for Tiffany.
Oh, I love that. I actually voted all of mine for Tiffany. I voted because you could vote 10 times. And I was like, I'm just going to vote all of mine for Tiffany. She's my favorite right now. So,
yeah, I mean, Tiffany just, she's just walking scot-free. And I feel like Claire is going to be in trouble this week. A lot of people are picking up on things, which sucks because she's not doing anything. Tiffany is doing everything.
Yeah. Oh.
But I really like Claire. So I think Claire needs the safety. So we'll see what happens. But I love this. Like, I don't know if you've seen on Twitter, like what everyone's doing. Have you seen this?
No, wait, what's everyone? Okay, wait, the Hannah thing. Are you talking about the Hannah thing?
You know, it's like, this Derek X was seen a week ago. If you have found him, please text his name to this number, 97979. So everyone is doing it for their house guests. And it is so funny. Cause it's like, at first I saw it. I'm like, oh my, wait, what do you mean he's been missing? And I was like, and I look at it, I'm like, oh, that's the verdict.
That is such a good strategy. I like, I'm so, that is so funny. Oh my gosh.
So I'm like, if I ever get on the show, whoever's managing my social media better be really fucking good.
Yeah, seriously. Well, if you get on the show, I'll manage your social media. Just give me the password. Yes. I'll be all over it. So if anyone is listening and you don't want to know who won the HOH competition because you're crazy and you like to watch the episode, just like skip ahead like 30 seconds, but tell us, because we didn't get to see it at all. Who won HOH at the after this episode?
Kylan.
I cannot believe that.
He's the first 2-time HOH winner this season. So allegedly it was a knockout style one. So they asked questions and knocked out. He allegedly tried to throw it and Tiffany was supposed to win. And Tiffany messed up. Like she like blamed. She basically had a Devon moment last year where Devon was supposed to win that round and she did. So and Tiffany messed up and Kylan ended up winning, which is, I hate these knockouts because the wrong question shouldn't disqualify you. It should just like, if the other person can't get it, then you go into a tiebreaker. But if you answer it wrong, you're out. And I think that's what happened. It's from what I'm gathering from the updates, but.
Oh my gosh. I would be so unhappy if I tried to throw something and I accidentally won because it's like, if you win at the wrong time, it's just not good for you, but we'll see how he manages it. Okay, so it is officially safe. You can come back to listening. I guess I don't know how you would know this, but if you don't want spoilers, I don't know why you're listening anyway. Okay, so tell everyone where they can follow you to hear more of your Big Brother Inside info and also some like USA Gymnastics stuff every once in a while. Where can people follow you?
Of course. So you can follow me on Instagram at BB with Babs, B-A-B-S as in Barbara. I'm also on Twitter. It's Babzilla. So B-A-B-S-Z-I-L-L-A-0408. I post a lot about USA Gymnastics fan, as well as Big Brother stuff. So I usually try to live tweet the live shows. I've kind of taken a hiatus, you know, managing social media is not easy when you have a full-time job.
It's a lot. People don't realize how much work we put into this. It's like, it's a lot to keep up with.
Well, like I text you when I started, I'm like, I don't know if I'm cut out for this. This is too much. I think I'll just stick to Twitter. You're like, no, do it. I'm like, fine, I'll do it.
I know. Well, you'll get in the group. And this is like the first season you're covering Big Brother, but next season you'll have like a bigger following and you'll be more on top of it. It's just like, it's hard, especially in Olympics year, because that's like a whole huge part of your life too. And when the competitions are happening, like in the middle of the night, like, I don't know how you're sleeping. So
yeah, no, I literally was waking up at 6 a.m. every day, and I'm not a morning person. I'm like, I only wake up for gymnastics. But, you know, it's hashtag dedication.
Yeah, you got it. You got to do it. Well, thank you so much for coming on our Big Brother Breakfast Club. It's been so much fun. And so hopefully if you guys are listening, make sure you go follow Babs. Make sure you're following me. If you found me through Babs, thank you for listening, giving my podcast a chance. I also cover Gossip Girl. I'm going to have one more episode of Gossip Girl out before a little bit of a hiatus, because Gossip Girl is taking, I think, 2 months off, which I didn't know about until just now. So I'm so sorry about that. So you'll just be in for the Big Brother recaps. And then I might start covering Bravo again while Gossip Girl is on a hiatus. So you never know. Subscribe to the podcast. It's basically like, you never know what you're going to get with me. I'm like Taylor Swift. I just like put out a new album and nobody knows about it. So make sure you subscribe so you know about it. All right. Well, thank you, Babs. It's been so much fun. And thank you all for listening.
Thank you for having me. I loved it.
Thanks for listening to It's All Happening. Remember to subscribe to my podcast and leave a 5-star review. If you have nothing nice to say, my DMs are always open. Please follow me on Instagram at It's All Happening X and on Twitter at happening_pod. Until next time.